from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll find out about how the Indianapolis Arts Center is wrapping up the summer.
I'll chat with Gail Payne about her upcoming cabaret show at the Indy Fringe.
And I'll find out about a fashionable new partnership from Paulina Ostroff. Plus, will be our arts calendar we call.
What will we do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. The Indianapolis Arts Center knows how to throw a good party, or two. In fact, they do have two parties coming up to wrap up the summer. The first is their open house on August 9th, and the second is their Art Sparkle fundraiser on August 16th. Travis DiNicola spoke with the center's Ben Schein to learn more.
Ben, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Always great to see you.
Thanks, Travis. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So here we are, end of the summer, and the Arts Center knows how to throw some parties, two to be specific. You guys have your open house and the Art Sparkle going on, a bunch of other stuff. But let's start with the open house, because that's really kind of a great way for people to get to know what the Arts Center is going to be offering this fall, right?
Yeah. On August 9th from 6 to 8, we are opening up all of our studios and inviting the community to come get messy with art for an evening. It's easy, it's fun, and it's free.
Come get messy. So what does that mean? You get to play with some clay? You get to check out all the studios?
Yeah, you get to check out all the studios. We're going to have activities, hands-on activities, and demos in all of our studios. So people can come get dirty in our ceramic studio. Mm-hmm. They can, you know, watch sparks fly in our sculpture studio and play with fire in the glass studio. And they can also come make jewelry and draw from a live model and explore our dark room and just things like that.
Cool. So you get to meet most of the faculty.
Sure. Faculty will be there guiding people through activities and stuff.
And then and check out the different studio rooms, because you've got some great spaces to work in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you mentioned the glass blowing studio, and that alone is just a pretty cool thing worth checking out.
It is. It gets hot in there.
It gets very hot in there. And so no obligation to take a class, but if you are, like, especially thinking about maybe taking a class this fall, this is a great way to sort of see what's being offered.
It's a great way to check out the studios and the activities. But it's also that night we're offering people 10% discount on classes if they register that night.
And you guys, in terms of the classes that you offer, I know, you know, years ago it used to be, you know, much more of a longer sort of intensive commitment to a class. But you offer a lot more short-term classes or more classes for beginners as well as, of course, advanced stuff, right?
I mean, yeah, a couple years ago we changed our model to be a little bit more accessible to the community. Mm-hmm. So instead of just offering only 15-week classes in a medium, we changed it up to fit people's schedules and budgets and stuff like that. So if somebody wanted to try glass blowing, like we said,
yeah,
you know, they wouldn't have to sign up for a full 15-week class of glass blowing. They could start with an intro 4-week class and get a good taste of what it's like and then figure out if they want to go on from there.
Very cool. Very cool. And that applies for most of the classes
as well?
That applies
for all of the classes.
Really? So you could, like, take a, you know, an introduction to drawing or
right,
a painting or something like that. And the classes that you guys do offer, I mean, I know the whole schedule's online and you publish a big catalog and stuff, but all times of days, weekends, evenings, I mean...
Yeah. We have schedules for everybody.
Yeah.
Including, you know, two-hour pop-up classes that are just one-time art adventures for people to come just explore something for one night.
I've actually done a couple of the pop-up ones, and those are a lot of fun.
I actually
did that once with glass blowing, just sort of to see what that was like and stuff. And, you know, great way to sort of figure it out. But, of course, the open house allows you to do that and check out the Art Center and all the facilities. Artwork that's going to be on display during that time, during the open house?
Yeah. At the open house, we're also debuting our annual faculty exhibition, so you can come see work from our 150 different instructors that we have there. And we also
That's a lot of instructors.
And they all do their own work because they are all working artists as well. But we're also debuting the Best of Student Show from last year, which for us was Macy Freeman, and her photography will be in one of our galleries.
Very cool. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you're also there's something with a labyrinth you guys are creating. What's that about?
Well, our local artist Barb Zeck is a ceramicist.
Mm-hmm.
She is creating an earth art labyrinth in part of our 9-acre arts park.
Okay.
And, you know, this Saturday she's having a workshop where people can come help her make the tiles and install the exhibit that's going to be debuting the night of open house.
Cool. Now, when you say an earth, say that again, an earth?
It's an earth art.
Earth art.
Labyrinth.
Okay, so it's built into the ground? I mean, this is, we're
right.
not talking like an 8-foot, you know, like
no, we're not
the
talking
Shining
walls
or anything
labyrinth
here. Right.
With a minotaur.
Okay.
It's more like a pathway made out of tiles that, you know.
Will sort of wind through the arts park.
Right. Well, actually, just a little segment of the arts park.
Nice. Okay. Very cool. So, again, the open house is on August 9th, and that's completely free and don't need to RSVP, right? Just show up.
Just
and
come.
Great for the whole family because, of course, you guys do a lot of classes for kids of all ages.
Yes,
as well
absolutely.
As adults and stuff. And then that'll be followed up by your big annual end of summer fundraiser, the Arts Sparkle. Tell me about that. That's on August 16th.
Yeah, 1 week after open house, we're going to turn our building around from a community-centered playground to a place for our big food and wine gala called Art Sparkle. And Art Sparkle is just a fantastic evening of food, fun, and music under the stars in our 9-acre arts park.
So who's going to be there?
Well, there's going to be 20 different restaurants, people like 20 Tap, Sullivan Steakhouse, Avec Moi, The Jazz Kitchen, La Chinita Pobile, it's one of my favorite new taco places in Broad Ripple, you know, Lick Ice Cream, Fountain Square Brewing Company, and a whole bunch more.
And so your ticket gets, is it more like they have different food stations set up, or what's it like for someone who hasn't been to Art Sparkle?
Well, it's our big 9-acre arts park, and spread out among there are 20 different restaurants.
So it's all outside
all
in the
outside.
Park?
All outside.
And so each restaurant has, what, like a different area?
A little booth or area. And people will just be able to go explore the art as well as explore the food that they're offering.
Now, is this a big formal event?
You know, it's sort of a formal event, but it's kind of changed every year. We have a theme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've done things in the past.
We've done a circus theme, right?
A circus theme, or last year, I think, was Morocco or something like that. This year, we're taking a cue from color, and we're using Pantone's color of the year called Emerald. And it's, you know, Emerald Extravaganza is this year's Art Sparkle.
So anything Emerald would
anything Emerald or green, if you got
would
it.
Would be appropriate.
Right. And for the designers out there, just to be sure, it is Emerald Tone 17-5641.
Good to know. That is the Pantone color of the year?
Correct.
Wow. Okay. I did not know that. See? That's why people listen to Art of the Matter, to find things out like that. So entertainment for that night for Art Sparkle?
The Impalas. The glorious Impalas.
Cool. So, again, that event is on August 16th, and it, of course, is a fundraiser for the Arts Center. Tickets available online?
Online at indplsartcenter.org.
And so what are you going to be wearing for that?
Well, you know, I'm going to pull out maybe a green bow tie, maybe some green pants.
Okay.
I might go thrifting to see if I can find something fun.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. And again, because that event is outside, so very fun. So end of summer. Could get hot.
It could
you never know.
Hot.
It could actually get hot this summer.
But it's a beautiful evening under the stars. Either way.
And a great way to check out all the great art that's part of the Arts Park. I mean, the Arts Park's been around now for what, 6-7 years? Longer than that, maybe.
Like since the mid-90s.
Yeah. God,
also designed by Michael Graves.
It's really just a beautiful space. And there's a lot of both in temporary and permanent you know, outdoor art that's a part of that.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, a great place to check out the White River. It's right where the Monon Trail and the White River intersect. So it's an easy way if you ever just want to come explore.
Very cool. Ben, anything else going on at the Arts Center that you want to make sure we know about?
Well, August 26th, classes start. Registration's
classes
start. On now.
So soon.
We have over 200 classes starting this fall.
Wow. So now I want to ask you something, because I know that one thing that is kind of a cool benefit, if you will, of working at the Arts Center is you get to take a class, right?
We do. We're actually kind of required to take a class every session. And I think it's great because I went to Catholic school, so I didn't get a lot of art classes. So I am like a curious kid in art classes with very little artistic talent.
So so what have you taken recently and what are you going to take next?
I'm currently in a printmaking class where we're doing intaglio prints. You know, I'm printing with a copper plate and I'm also silk screening.
Very cool. Very cool. And then what next for you? What do you think?
I want to try a sewing class because I've always wanted to learn how to sew.
Excellent. Good. Well, Ben, thanks so much for coming in Art of the Matter Day. It's always good to see you. And
thanks, Travis.
A lot of good stuff coming on at the Indianapolis Arts Center.
Yeah, lots of fun stuff. Give Sharon my regards, please.
Travis DiNicola with the Indianapolis Arts Center's Ben Schein. The Arts Center's open house is on August 9th, and their Art Sparkle fundraiser is on August 16th. For more information, visit IndianapolisArtCenter.org. That's spelled I-N-D-P-L-S, artcenter.org. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
Gail Payne is not afraid. Yeah, not too much. This Indianapolis-based PR professional has tapped into her inner performer for this year's Indie Fringe, and she joined Sharon Gamble in our studio to talk about the process of developing her cabaret show, what she hopes to gain by multiple fringe performances, and what she learned from a refrigerator magnet that quotes Neil Donald Walsh, author of Conversations with God.
So the road to you and being a chanteuse, where did that start? Tell us.
Oh, Sharon, it started about a little over a year ago when I turned 40. And I know that it usually is not usual for a woman to admit her age, but turning 40 was the best thing that happened to me, actually, because it gave me permission to stop caring what other people thought or think and just really throw caution to the wind and truly live by my refrigerator magnet that says life begins at the end of your comfort zone.
Ooh. And who said that? Do we know?
Oh, I don't. I can't remember.
Wow, but that's great.
It is great. And it's so true. And I was really hanging off the cliff of my comfort zone.
Were you worried about 40? Was it a milestone you were thinking, oh, I wanted to do this and this by this time, or I should feel more comfortable in my own skin by this time? Or
yeah, I think we all have expectations of what our life is going to be like by any particular age, maybe.
Sure.
And so, yeah, there were some things that I thought that I would have achieved or have accomplished in my life. And so I had been in choirs all of my life, mm-hmm. going way, way, way back. And I've been in Indianapolis about 20 years and been in various choirs that have been wonderful experiences for me. But I woke up one day and thought, I don't remember what my voice sounds like, because the wonderful thing about a choir is that you are breathing with this huge organism of hundreds of people around you and making this beautiful music, but your whole purpose is to blend. And I just decided, you know, I really want to discover what my voice is and sounds like. I've never really taken the time to do that. So I went on this incredible journey over really leading up to turning 40 and finding just the right people in my life to coach me, to help me, including, you know, friends like Stephen Stolen, Shannon Forsell, my vocal coach, Tamara Wise, who just carried me and helped me along the way to and nudged me onto that stage that started in my living room, actually, before my big birthday, just in front of about 15 or 20 friends. And I thought, if I can do this, my husband, Brian, had challenged me that on my birthday, he was going to produce a cabaret for me.
Oh,
it could be in our living room or it could be in a bigger venue. But so that was a wonderful encouragement, too, to have him saying, you can do it. Go for it. And so
might have actually been harder to sing in front of friends than strangers.
So many people have said that, actually. And I guess it just...
And that's not a commentary on your friends.
No,
it's just that
right.
Because you are right. Your friends are dear to you, you know them well, you want everything to be perfect for them.
Yeah. But, you know, I knew that those particular people were such wonderful supporters, loved me, were going to, you know...
Embrace you no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I could be as wiggy about it or as big a puddle of a mess as I needed to be. And it didn't matter. And I guess that's the kind of environment I would encourage any artist to really start in is develop that support network, that landing strip where no matter what, those people are there for you. And as you sort of tiptoe out onto bigger venues or bigger experiences, whatever they may be, that they're going to be there for you. But I did do a bigger show for about 100 people for my 40th birthday in February at the Cabaret at the Columbia Club. And I was totally in love with the idea of it, with doing it, and wanted to keep doing it. So I auditioned for the International Cabaret Conference at Yale University, something that Shannon Forsell had told me about in the past. And I thought, well, it would be a good opportunity just to audition. Maybe in a couple years I'll get in. But you have to audition either in Cincinnati or Chicago or the two cities holding auditions. And they happened to fall about a week after this concert. I got in on
wow.
the spot.
Congratulations.
And, yeah, it was incredible. It blew my mind. And it was last August. So I did another cabaret last summer at the Columbia Club to raise money to be able to go out to New Haven, and had this incredible 10-day experience at Yale with 20 other people from around the world, learning about interpreting song, putting together your own show, what's it like to be a cabaret artist, and so many different definitions of that word. So it was an incredible experience, and I've been able to come back and use that in a lot of different ways.
You're, as a cabaret artist, you're a programmer, you're a performer, you're a collaborator with your accompanist, you're a storyteller. Mm-hmm. What am I missing? There must be even more hats than that.
Mm. You're an entertainer.
You're an entertainer, sure.
Yeah. I think the wonderful thing about cabaret that I hope everyone understands is there are so many different definitions, but I think what it is it's all those things. It is a wonderful way to, in a very intimate space and place, to tell a story from that person on stage through the music, through the song, through the patter or the non-sung parts of the show, those pieces that tie everything together. And my faculty out at Yale showed us so many different ways to do that. It can be scripted. It can be completely impromptu. It can be little snippets of monologues from theater pieces. I mean, it can be so many different things in a cabaret, depending on what story it is that you want to tell. I love Stephen Stolen said to me a long time ago, what do you have to say? Every artist has something to say. And so I think as I've continue to learn about myself as an artist, I constantly think, before I put myself out on that stage, what do I have to say?
Mm-hmm. How did you come up with the story that forms the basis for La Vie, L'Amour?
Last summer, Dance Kaleidoscope called me, and I had made a contribution in honor of their 40th anniversary as a dance company, which I just think is fantastic. I'm a huge Dance Kaleidoscope fan, and Jan Virgin called and said, hey, we are doing a show in 2013 that's all music by Jacques Brel and Edith Piaf, two of the most iconic, if not the most iconic, French performers, and would love it if you would consider doing a cabaret as a fundraiser around that show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was honored and excited, and we decided to do that. And so this show came out of really those conversations about how to create a French-themed show. And I did that. I did this show first for them as a fundraiser back in March.
Mm-hmm. And tell us just enough about the story to tempt us.
Sure. Well, once again, I thought about what is it that I have to say. And Edith Piaf and Jacques Brel's music is very different. So it couldn't be just the two of them. So I looked for music that was French inspired in some way, shape, or form, maybe through the lyrics or through French composers or other things. But in the end, I've woven together a story of looking back as a 40-year-old to this young woman in her 20s who follows her college boyfriend to Paris.
Mm.
So it's a fictional story, actually.
Sure.
And so she is head over heels in love, decides to throw caution to the wind and follow him to Paris to live the life as struggling artists. And I guess your listeners will just have to come and
take
find
it
out
from
the rest.
There, yeah.
Yeah.
I predict not all waters are smooth on that journey.
It's a pretty traditional love
yeah.
story that we all will see. I think we'll all see and be able to relate to.
Sure. You work with David Duncan as mm-hmm. your accompanist / cohort. How do you work together? Does he have suggestions for interpretation for you? Is it a fairly equal relationship when you're working up the music?
Yeah, David is an amazing artist and musician. I'm so grateful to be working with him. It's especially at Yale, I learned even more so to appreciate and choose carefully the person that you work with as your accompanist, because you really do need someone who can give you very honest feedback,
mm-hmm.
who can take a song and be creative with you and say, what if we merged these two or three songs together? What if we, I think we should lower this key or change this in some way. So it is a wonderful collaboration between the two of us. For this particular show, I brought most of the music to the table and said, this is kind of how I see this going as a way to get things started. But then once we start, it's this constant collaboration, as I said, of how to arrange each particular song to fit the show.
Sure. Now, you've done iterations of this in the past, but not multiple performances. What do you think is going to be different as you do this show over the course of the Fringe Festival? Are you allowing yourself a little room for improvisation so you don't get bored? Or
yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to be in the Cook Theater at Indiana Landmarks. It's a beautiful room. And just, I've seen other live performances there, and so I just know the venue is going to also play a role in shaping the performance.
Sure.
I've also taken more time to really dive into this particular character. So while it is, you know, a lot about myself, I've taken the liberty to really think of it as a theater piece.
Sure.
And to think about who she is and, if I had followed my college boyfriend to Paris, what those experiences would have been like. So through my costume, through thinking more specifically about the character, I think that that's how it'll be different from what I've done before.
Is it set in present day?
It is, but the entire show is kind of looking back and telling this story of how they, of what happened throughout their relationship.
Okay. After midnight, before midnight, that whole
right.
Story arc
the
is
Hawk,
very timely,
right.
Isn't
mm-hmm.
it? You're offering people a chance to make a culinary trip to Paris before one of the performances.
Yes.
Through another partnership.
Yes. I've had wonderful partnerships, as I've mentioned, through the Cabaret at the Columbia Club, through Printing Partners has been a wonderful partner, Michael O'Brien at Printing Partners, but then Regina Mihalik, the owner of Art Bistro. It's so wonderful to have a partnership with her on Sunday, August 18th. We're going to do an evening in Paris. She's going to prepare an incredible four-course French dinner, including wine pairings, starting at 6:30 that evening at our bistro, so that we are finished in plenty of time to head over to the Cook Theater for my 9 o'clock performance.
People will be very much in the mood after that,
yeah.
that yummy meal.
Yeah.
Well, break legs, stay in good voice, and we'll see you at the Fringe.
Thank you so much.
Sharon Gamble with performer Gail Payne. You can see one or more of her La Vie L'Amour performances at the Cook Theater at Indiana Landmarks Cook Theater during the Indie Fringe. And if you want the full French experience, then visit Art Bistro for the special themed dinner on Sunday, August 18th before Gail's 9 p.m. performance. And get more information at indiefringe.org and also at rbistro.com. That's R, the letter R, BISTRO.com.
Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
The summer's almost over.
Is it really the beginning of August?
I can't believe it. How did that happen
so quickly? I don't know.
So
way too
quickly.
Fast.
I know.
And people are already talking back to school.
What?
Yeah.
But we have lots of cool, groovy, fun, summery things that you can still do on that calendar we call
What Do We Do? What will we do? Well, you know what? Well, of course, it wouldn't be the end of summer without the State Fair.
Yes.
And people are already making their plans for that. One person in particular is Rita Cohn, because she is doing a Reader's Theater play of Rich Lives, which is based on her Voices of American Homemakers, a 20th century oral history project of the National Homemakers Council and Indiana Humanities, and it's been edited by Eleanor Arnold, and performances are going to be at the Indiana State Fair Pioneer Village August 11th at noon, the 13th and at 11 and 1, and the 14th at 10 a.m. and noon, and it has lots of local actors who are a part of it, and it should be a lot of fun. Rita's done a number of these reader theater plays based on her oral histories in the past, and really interesting work, and so this one is specific to homemakers at the State Fair.
Love it. Hey, the State Fair does run August 2nd through the 18th, so plenty of opportunities to go out and check it out. In fact, you should probably go more than once because there's so much going on. Make sure you go in the Home and Family Arts Building and check out the photography exhibits, both professional and amateur categories, and some really spectacular work there. Also on the Dow AgroSciences Celebration Stage, which is at the northwest corner, if you're interested in a blast from the past, I was running down their band listings. They're bringing Sticks and Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Not on the same program, mind you. Different dates, but wow.
Sticks should be interesting.
It should be very interesting.
Hey, you still have time, if you haven't already, to check out Classic Hits. It's the Dance Kaleidoscope Concert that Printing Partners is presenting up at the Tarkington Theater in Carmel. And Friday and Saturday night, both evenings at 7 p.m. at the Tarkington at the Center for the Performing Arts, three of David Ho Choi's very, very cool pieces, including Ancient Airs and Dances, Electric Counterpoint, and the Romeo and Juliet Fantasy. Again, that is taking place up at the Tarkington in Carmel.
Very nice. Hey, I'm hoping that Indy Reads Books has fire extinguishers on hand.
I hope there's not a book burning going on.
No. On Tuesday, August 6th, from 6 to 8, Nancy Lee is putting on a pretty jazzy-sounding celebration to celebrate her book launch, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Making Metal Jewelry. Yes, Nancy is a practitioner. She makes metal jewelry, and she's going to have there'll be flame throwing and metalsmithing demonstrations, as I understand, and your Indie Reads Books colleagues will be prepared to keep the flames away.
She's
from
bringing
books.
An anvil, I've heard.
She's bringing an anvil.
Mm-hmm.
That's a heavy
That's
thing.
That's heavy. That,
yeah.
This is a very heavy show.
Heavy, dude. Wait, that back no, to the no, 70s no. with the bands? Okay, yeah. Never mind. We won't go there. Anyway, at Indie Reads Books, Tuesday, August 6th. That's this coming Tuesday, 6 to 8. Show up just to see what she's going to do with the anvil and the flamethrower.
It should be fun.
Just saying.
Hey, speaking of books, the Spineless Show, it's such a great title. It's the annual book art show that the Harrison hosts every year, and they do it with Heron and a bunch of other partners, and this year they've called the show Spineless, and it opens on Friday, August 2nd, but runs through the entire month of August at the Harrison Center for the Arts. Go check out Spineless.
Absolutely. And also don't forget the Bindery, the pop-up co-working initiative for Indy's design community going on.
That's
there
right.
As well. Hey, speaking of visual art, photographer Glory June Greif has her photography show, The Wonder of It All, Nature Photographs, up at the Holiday Park Nature Center, which is, surprise, in Holiday Park at 6363 Spring Mill Road on the city's northwest side. And that exhibition is up through September 8th, so you have just a few more weeks to go check that out. Glory June, a wonderful photographer and writer, has written a lot about Indiana history, and just go check out this photography exhibit as well.
There you go. Hey, Phoenix Theater, you still have time to check out their show, Love, Loss, and What I Wore. It's a collection of stories by Nora and Delia Ephron. Of course, Nora Ephron is the woman who wrote When Harry Met Sally and Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail and all of those. And this is a show about women and their clothes. And again, it runs through August. August 18th, at the Phoenix Theater, at the Basile Stage, and so some great theater to check out this summer.
If you're hearing us on Thursday night, make sure that you get out for First Friday tomorrow night. That's Friday night, August 2nd. There's so much going on, as usual, including an unusual collaboration in the Windsor Park neighborhood / Circle City industrial complex area.
Oh, this is going to be really cool.
Yeah. Artists will have selected pieces out in the park. New Day Meadery is going to have wine available by the glass. Duos will have food. Chatterbox is going to present a jazz band. And there'll even be a movie from Craig Mintz's Roving Cinema. So all that going on at Circle City Industrial Complex. They're close to Mass Ave and 10th, near downtown Indianapolis.
Very, very cool. They'll definitely be worth checking out. Hey, something to plan for, or perhaps you're thinking about already, what arts events you want to go to this fall. Well, they're bringing back the Passport to the Arts. And this is something that Indie Hub is doing with participating organizations as well as the Arts Council and Lily. And it's a passport that allows you, for you younger professionals out there, it's a 5-ticket sampler subscription. And it allows you to go to a whole bunch of shows, including the Indianapolis Opera's Three Penny Opera, Phoenix Theater's A Very Phoenix Xmas 8, Dance Kaleidoscope's American Rhapsody, the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra's Gorecki's Third Symphony, and then the Indiana Repertory Theater's Other Desert Cities. These are 5 different great shows, 5 different great organizations, and these passports are going fast. You need to go to the IndieHub.com or .org, either way, website to find out more information on how you can buy your passport, which will allow you to go and sample these great 5 shows.
Very Phoenix Xmas to Gorecki's Third Symphony is a pretty broad.
That's a pretty big jump
too,
there, isn't
so,
it?
Yeah. So I encourage you to try that.
And Three Penny Opera as well. Yeah.
And very affordable, a low risk way to sample a lot of different things.
It's a great way to do it. And the shows start in October and go through March. So it's spread out throughout the year, 1 October, 1 December, January, February, March. You know, so yeah, it's a pretty cool thing to do. But indiehub.org has all the information about the passport to the arts.
Excellent. Hey, something a little unusual coming up this Saturday at 4 is a film, and I don't know how else to describe it, but just an experience. Keep listening.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Tent. There's a woman called Dr. Isadora Gabrielle Leidenfrost, and she has created the Red Tent Movement. A red tent is essentially a fabric based textile space that's red in color, where women gather to rest, renew, and often share deep and powerful stories about her lives. So she has started constructing these places, and she's going to do that this Saturday. You can go there at 4 o'clock and be inside the red tent and see a groundbreaking 72-minute film called Things We Don't Talk About, Women's Stories from the Red Tent. Where is all this happening? It's happening at the Church Within at 1125 Spruce Street on the near south side of Indianapolis. So it's not that men wouldn't be welcome, but it sounds like it's pretty female-centered.
I understand.
Yeah. So Things We Don't Talk About, Women's Stories from the Red Tent. This Saturday at 4, find out more by Googling Red Tent Indianapolis.
Well, if you're a guy who wants to go check out a movie, then may I recommend the movies that are coming up. It's the last ones of the season for the film series at the IMA. On Friday, August 2nd, there's Something About Mary, which is, of course, a lot of fun.
And now for something completely different.
Completely different. And then the other summer film nights, August 9th, you've got Hoosiers. August 16th, The Big Sleep, one of my favorites. Then on the 23rd, Rushmore. And then it closes out on August 30th with The Breakfast Club.
Oh.
Don't you forget about me, Sharon. That's right.
Oh, so, classic.
How fun. So that's a great series of movies. You can actually buy tickets ahead of time because these have been selling out, a very popular series this summer. And you can go to the IMA's website to get your tickets ahead of time.
Excellent. Indoor entertainment, Cabaret at the Columbia Club this Friday and Saturday is hosting Eden Espinoza, who's sometimes billed as one of the most exciting voices of her generation. She's wowed audiences in Broadway's Wicked, Rent, and Brooklyn, and she takes on modern Broadway hits from Aida, Rent, and Wicked, along with some popular song reimaginings of pieces by Joni Mitchell, Eva Cassidy, Cyndi Lauper, and, as they say, more. That's at Cabaret at the Columbia Club this Friday and Saturday night at 8 o'clock, cabaret at thecolumbiaclub.org for more information.
Well, speaking of Cabaret at the Columbia Club, Sharon, here's something that you surely will want to see because it's a sure hit.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Jazz great Diane Shore.
Oh
yeah. She's coming
it.
To the Cabaret September 14th. It's actually, this is really cool. It's part of Jazz Fest this year, and we'll be talking a lot about Jazz Fest over the next couple weeks, but Jazz Fest this year is a little bit different. It's not an outdoor fest.
Right.
It's at a whole bunch of different venues all around the city, including the Cabaret and, of course, the Jazz Kitchen. And Diane Shore, who's just an amazing jazz vocalist and piano player and is just incredible, is going to be performing at the very intimate setting of the Cabaret at the Columbia Club. This is is a show not to be missed.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so that's September 14th. I say get your tickets now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Hey, German Fest at Vincennes is coming up on August 9th and 10th. That's next Friday and Saturday. And it is billed as an adults event. So no getting stuck at the kids' table. They're saying adults 21 years and older can enjoy German food, beverages, and music from 6 p.m. through midnight at Vincennes. There'll be a polka band and lots of traditional German fare, not just music, but lots more. Might be some jokes, might be some other things as well. So a little bit of a road trip. German Fest in Vincennes coming up next weekend.
Hey, I said you'd be hearing more about Jazz Fest. Well, here's some more about Jazz Fest. In fact, in some ways, Jazz Fest actually kind of kicks off this weekend because they're doing a special Indie Jazz Fest Presents. It salutes Indiana composers. It's taking place at Marsh's Symphony on the Prairie Concerts, out at the Prairie, of course, Friday and Saturday night. And this is really fun. It's going to be featuring a whole bunch of local musicians, Steve Ollie on piano, as well as Kevin Anker, Scott Belk, Larry Crane, Rob Dix on sax, of course, Everett Green, Cynthia Lane, beautiful vocals, Brandon Meeks, Kenny Phelps, Ted Robinson, Sandy Williams. Yeah, they'll be playing the music of everything from Cole Porter, Hoagy Carmichael, Wes Montgomery, and Freddie Hubbard. And so this is a great jazz celebration out at Symphony on the Prairie this weekend, sort of kicking off a preview of Jazz Fest, if you will.
Love it. Hey, I have one more road trip for you. It's a fine time to go on the road to the Fort Wayne Museum of Art. Fort Wayne, a beautiful city with lots and lots of great stuff going on, some wonderful independent restaurants. And at the Fort Wayne Art Museum this summer, in fact, running through September 29th, so you have a little bit more time, Chihuly's Secret Garden. It is part of something being billed as the Summer of Glass, which includes all sorts of exhibitions and happenings and events dedicated to glass artists. So you can find out more online at the Fort Wayne Museum of Art's website.
That sounds great. Yeah. Hey, last thing I've got, people have been talking about the WARM Festival. What is it?
Yeah.
It stands for the White River Arts and Music Festivals, the first WARM Fest, the inaugural one, which is going to be taking place, of course, at the White River over the Labor Day weekend, the 31st through September 2nd, and also at the Broad Ripple Park in Indianapolis. It's going to be a very, very cool event, and they're releasing more and more information about the different acts that are going to be performing, including Trombone Shorty. That's going to be a lot of fun, but also Big Head Todd and the Monsters. There's also all types of groups. Third Bass, the hip hop group, the Pieces, KO, Sleeping Bag, Party Lines, Whip Stitch, Sally's, No No Stranger, Kyle Long, DJ. The list goes on and on and on. There's Jenny DeVoe. There's probably about 50 different groups performing. Burlesque Bingo is going to be there as well. Blue Monkey Sideshow. And as we get more information, we will let you know more about it. Should be a lot of fun. Again, that's the Labor Day Weekend Festival at the Broad Ripple Waterfront, the WARM Fest, White River Art and Music Festival.
Love it. Hey, Travis, there's so much more going on, which tells us that summer isn't really over because there's still lots of things to see and do. And we hope you go out and see and do some of those things. Let us know what you're doing. And we'll be back with more suggestions next week on
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
On August 2nd, Pattern Indie, in partnership with AIGA Indianapolis and the Harrison Center for the Arts, will launch The Bindery, a free pop-up co-working space for Indianapolis design professionals. This temporary workshop, hosted in Gallery No. 2 of the Harrison Center for the Arts, will provide communal space and equipment for all sorts of designers, including fashion. Travis DiNicola spoke with Pattern Magazine's Paulina Osherov and Joshua Cook, president of AIGA Indianapolis, about the new partnership.
Paulina, Joshua, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to have you both in the studio.
Great to be here. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Paulina, let's start with you, and because I want to give a little background on what Pattern Magazine is, because it's a pretty cool thing, and there may be some listeners who aren't as familiar with it.
Sure, absolutely. Pattern Magazine is something that was born out of our community, which is also called Pattern. It's a fashion networking group, and we are trying to build up the local fashion community. Believe it or not, there is one here.
Yes, there is.
It's very exciting. Lots of great things happening. And what we wanted to do was to build a community through the events, which are all inclusive. If you are interested in fashion or if you work in fashion, you're
designers, photographers,
absolutely,
models.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, makeup artists, students, mm-hmm, people who used to be in the street, in the industry, doing something else right now.
Mm-hmm.
All of those folks.
Okay.
So anybody's welcome. It's free. And then we definitely have some very, very talented people in the community, and we wanted to give an opportunity to them to be showcased. And so that's why the magazine was born. It's aspirational.
It's a gorgeous magazine.
Thank you.
It really is. And you're now, what, in your fourth issue?
We are very close to sending our fourth issue to print.
You know, large format, full color, it reminds me of the old days of Interview magazine. It's just like a great, great piece.
It's big.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we want it. It's a little crazy on the cost, but it's worth it because it's an outstanding marketing piece for the local industry.
It really is. And I mean, you had no problem at all filling the pages.
No, not at all. In fact, we have to actually cut things out, which is sad, but we're glad that we have more stuff coming in than, mm-hmm, I guess, the opposite.
And so your primary role, I mean, you're editor of Pattern, but you're also a fashion photographer yourself.
Correct.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, so Joshua, tell me about what is AIGA. I know it has something to do with design, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah. AIGA is the Professional Association for Design. It is the oldest and largest professional organization for design in the country. It used to stand for the American Institute of Graphic Arts way, way long ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming up on our 100th anniversary next year. But we've kind of moved towards kind of being a little more inclusive. 50 to 100 years ago, it used to be very specific to graphic artists.
Just graphic design.
Correct.
But now, I mean, my understanding is it's graphic design, but it could also be fashion, it could be interior, it could be all types of... I mean, design is certainly a very large notion.
Yeah. We kind of look at the capital D design in the sense of, mm-hmm, everything that kind of falls under that umbrella. So within the organization, we have book design, web design, interactive design,
product design.
Exactly.
Okay. And what's your, I mean, you're a president of AIGA, so I'm assuming you're a designer yourself?
I am, yes.
What type of designer are you?
I do a little bit of both print and web.
Mm-hmm.
So I work for a marketing firm here in town in Fountain Square.
Mm-hmm.
So I spend most of my days in front of a computer and then working with
and then,
people like Paulina.
Very cool.
On a lot of side projects.
Are you with Pivot?
Is it? I am.
Yep. Excellent. Okay. So how did the two of you then get together on this? Paulina?
Well, we actually met because I was hired to shoot a project,
mm-hmm,
for a company that you used to work at. So, mm-hmm, this was a few years back. And we just kind of stayed in touch. I knew that he was part of AIGA. And when we came up with this idea for the pop-up co-working space, we knew that we had to make it broader than just fashion,
mm-hmm,
for it to succeed. So I reached out to him, and he was all about it, which I'm so very glad for.
Now, help me understand this, because I know, Paulina, you've actually sort of been setting up shop at the Harrison Center all summer long.
Correct.
But that's been for Pattern Magazine, right?
It's been for Pattern in general, but yes, the magazine as well.
Okay. And so tell me how this is all different now, this idea of sort of, how do you describe Bindery? I mean, is it a pop-up sort of open space for designers? Is it, I mean, am I close?
You're close.
Okay.
Yeah, the concept is actually officially known as co-working,
mm-hmm,
where individuals that typically have their own businesses or don't work out of a traditional office environment or have the ability to work on their own can come in and work alongside other creatives. And there's a space that's similar to that, the speakeasy that already exists.
Right.
They're focused on the tech sector.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt like there needed to be something that was specifically geared to the creatives in town.
Okay.
Not that the tech people aren't creative, but more to do with design.
Sure. Sure. I mean, do you both find, I mean, that sort of environment is helpful? I mean, some designers certainly like to sort of, you know, go off into their studio or work on their own and stuff. But, I mean, this is really about intentionally sort of throwing yourself in the middle of some chaos.
Yep.
Joshua, you're nodding a lot there. So,
yeah. I think having a space that's a little bit disruptive is really important for creatives in general. I think the Bindery kind of opens up this opportunity for not just traditional designers, but you also have this full spectrum of creatives that can come into one space and kind of just help each other out. I think everybody kind of loved that time when they were in school and they got to collaborate in studios, and it was really messy and kind of creative. And there was chaos, but like the product of that was something that was much better than if you were sitting in a room by yourself trying to crank something out. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great way to generate new ideas. And I think that a lot of self-employed individuals and entrepreneurs thrive on networking.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly there's an opportunity there to meet people that you would never meet if you just stayed in your home office and never got out. So we're excited about that part of it, too. We feel like there are a lot of people working in their own little corners, doing their own thing and feeling lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't need to be the case, because there are plenty of really great design professionals in the city, and it'd be wonderful to bring them together.
So that's what the Bindery is, binding them together. And I know I saw in the design that the IND, of course, for Indianapolis
is
emphasized.
Yes, that was Joshua's brainchild there. Yeah, he came up with that. That was pretty brilliant.
So what will people encounter when they come in? I mean, is it lots of drafting tables, sewing machines, Wi-Fi? I mean, what other than a physical space where people are getting together, what else sort of physically are people going to encounter?
All of those things. I don't know about drafting tables. We'll definitely have tables. We have workstations for fashion designers, some sewing machines, industrial, and comfy chairs, couches, definitely Wi-Fi. We're trying to figure out how to live stream it. So if folks can't come and visit, they can pull us up online and kind of sneak peek and see what's going on. Of course, the idea is, with it being a pop-up, is that we really wanted to test the feasibility of maybe working towards a permanent space like this. So that's what it's all about.
So how long will this be in operation? I know it officially opens on August 2nd, and then does it continue on for a limited period of time?
Yeah, it's just 1 month. It goes through August, and we're going to close it out by having a pop-up shop experience. So a lot of those folks that are going to be in the space working, we're going to give them an opportunity to set up a vendor table and showcase some of their work and maybe even sell it. So it'd be great to, it's a nice, like, coming, bring it full circle, I guess.
And for the designers, do they need to pre-register, or how does that work in terms of?
We do have a space online that you can go in and see. You can kind of go day by day.
Okay.
You can either sign up for a morning, afternoon, or the full day slot. So it gives you a lot of flexibility. Having a full-time job myself, it doesn't make it easy to be there every single day, but kind of breaking it up like that allows me to get out, and I'm planning on using the space multiple times. And
well, I'm glad to hear that.
So I'm encouraging a lot of other people that I know that have, you know, a designated workspace from 9 to 5 to kind of break out of that and
show up and get some work done there. Now, will this be open to the public in that, I mean, I know you're having sort of an opening at the very beginning and at the very end, but during the middle, you know, if someone's like walking around the Harrison and happens to see, you know, a bunch of people working on stuff and, you know, this crazy collaborative chaos going on, they can poke their heads in and watch like you're in a zoo or?
Sure.
Yeah
absolutely.
Okay.
No, I plan to bring through as many, you know, city officials and business leaders as I can, you know, to see if this can take hold.
Yeah.
We definitely need the support of that community to make it happen. But absolutely, if you're curious and you just want to poke your head in, by all means do so. We will have docents there who will be able to answer questions and show you around. It's not a huge space. It's only 1,500 square feet.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's still introductions to be made. You might run into somebody you know.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is in Gallery 2 at the Harrison Center?
Yes.
Very cool.
Yes,
very
and
cool.
A huge thank you to the Harrison for working with us on this and allowing us to be utilizing the space. We're kind of overstaying our welcome. We're supposed to be there just for 12 weeks while we had interns, and now it's turned into another 4 weeks, so we're extremely grateful.
Squatting at the Harrison?
Totally. Yep. We love it, though. It's
cool.
Great.
So let me just wrap this up by asking you personally, each of you, what do you anticipate working on at Bindery yourself? Joshua, what any specific project you're going to be working on?
Yeah, we have a couple projects at Pivot that are web-focused. So for me, it makes sense to be able to kind of take that there, work on that, but then also get some good feedback. So there's a couple I'm not sure if I'm allowed to share their name yet.
That's all right.
But they are indie-based and a big part of the indie culture, so I'm really excited to work on that and just kind of include some other creatives in the city that I wouldn't be able to otherwise. So.
Cool. Paulina?
For myself, I'll probably be putting the finishing touches on the fall issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to go to print mid-August. And then after that, I'm just going to collapse and not do anything for about a week and a half.
In the big comfy chairs.
And just on the floor at the Bindery, I'll just be laying there staring at the ceiling.
Well, best of luck to both
Thank
of you.
You.
It sounds
Thank
like a great
you.
Project, and I certainly encourage people to stop by and check it out. So thanks very much for coming in the studio today.
Thanks, Travis.
Travis DiNicola with Pattern Magazine's Paulina Osherov and Joshua Cook, president of AIGA Indianapolis. The Bindery opens this weekend at the Harrison Center for the Arts. For more information, visit patternindy.com, patternindy.com.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Bocelli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m., when I'll find out what happens when Cumberland Arts goes to market.
I'll get a preview of this year's Greek Fest.
Opa! And I'll find out what is new this year for the Arts Council's Start with Art Luncheon. Plus, we'll have our arts calendar we call
What'll
We Do?
So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.